Welcome, everybody, to the Chamber of Her Liquid Secrets. I wanted to thank all of my subscribers. I've been noticing lately I've been getting quite a few. And it always makes me feel really good to know that there are people out there that are actually listening to my podcasts. So if you're one of my subscribers, I wanted to say thank you for subscribing. And let's see, the last podcast we made was about my twin flames, painful childhood. And I think we're going to kind of do more of these a little bit from his childhood and my childhood. I think a lot of it is because we've been through so much together in our almost 30 years together as a married couple. You know, that's quite a bit of time. And I think I kind of want there to be a record of certain things that we went through, because so many things have flipping happened. And so a few days ago, I made a podcast of my twin flames' very hurtful and painful childhood and how he had to grow up. It's just a small snippet of some of the things that he went through. We went through him having to run away to the forest because his stepfather would be saying that he's going to kill him or try to shoot him. And so he would have to run out and jump out his open window, which he left open all the time. And first he ran to his friend's house and slept in their closets. But because he made so much noise snoring, they would find him, and then he would have to leave. And his friends would get beaten because, you know, my husband is African American, and so their families were usually very racist. So we kind of went through that. There's also some other painful things that happened, but I kind of figured that since today is my 62nd birthday, and we talked about his childhood and different things that he went through, that we would, I would have him ask questions and direct me to talk about some of the painful things that happened to me, and kind of the things that I went through. So, say hello, Robert.
Hello. Today is March the 6th, 2023, and it is my twin flame, my wife's, my love's birthday today. So we thought it would be appropriate to do an interview of her and let her tell her story, at least part of her story. And we're trying something a little new here, and as long as there's interest in it, by just click and let us know you like it, we'll continue to make videos like this as long as there's an interest. Uh-huh. Trying to switch it up a little. So today I'm going to delve into asking her questions about her life, her childhood, how she grew up. So we're going to just jump right into it.
Okay.
Okay, so are you ready?
Okay, hold on, let me get ready here. Okay, I'm ready.
Where were you born?
Oh, God. Kennewick, Washington.
So when you were born in Kennewick, Washington, did you have any siblings?
Well, not that I knew of at the time.
Okay, so was your mother married?
Yes, she was married, actually, at the time when she had me.
Okay, I know I'm asking kind of probing questions. If you ever don't want to answer me, that's okay.
Okay.
But here's my question for you. What were you told about your birth? I mean, did you know your father? Did you get to meet him? Your mother? Who was at the hospital? Was relatives? Any of that?
Okay. That's a good question. This is what I was told. Well, my mother told me that she was married to my father at the time, but that they lived apart, and she had me when she was living with her mother, which is my grandmother. And let's see, what else did you ask?
Well, what did they tell you about your birth? Oh. I mean, did they tell you that your father was also married to somebody else?
Well, I didn't really learn about that part till way later.
Right.
Till like I was like way older.
What did you feel when you learned that?
Well, number one, my mother didn't tell me that. I learned about it on my own.
Right. So, did you grow up in Kennewick?
Pretty much.
Pretty much.
Yes.
Okay. And tell us a little bit about your family life growing up.
Well, as a whole, I think, I'll be honest with you. I mean, I don't mean to like toot my own horn, but I'm going to. But I was a great kid and a great teenager. And I hardly ever got into any trouble at all. If hardly ever. There's only one time that I got into trouble, and I won't discuss that. That was more when I was a teenager. But I think for me, what's really strange is that my whole childhood, pretty much my mother and father never fought but once.
Is this your biological father? Or?
No, this is my stepfather.
Okay.
Yeah, I did not grow up at all around my regular father, my real father, my biological father. I didn't grow up around him at all. I didn't know him. But my mother told me, this is what she said. She said that he came by with what do you call those things?
With a high chair.
The high chair. Yes, thank you.
And your sister, half sister.
Yeah, I don't think I'll really talk about her because I want to mainly try to talk about my childhood.
So, you grew up as an only child.
Mm-hmm.
And do you remember where you were living with your grandparents before your mom got married or to Dennis? I mean, the other guy or?
Yeah, I think pretty much what happened was is the only real family that I felt like I ever really super had, which is so fucking funny, is that at the time, this is what my mother told me, she needed a place to drop me off, like a babysitter.
Right.
And so she found a Mormon family.
Okay.
And in this Mormon family, even though I'm an only child, in this Mormon family, I really became a part of their family. And I'm not sure how long I was there. I think I was there over a year or so.
How many friends did you have in this family that felt like your sisters or brothers or things like that? Do you remember?
Well, I think there was like three sisters.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And then there was me. And then there was, of course, the father and the mother. And for the first time, I had other people around me, and I really felt like they loved me and that I loved them. And so there was a real, you know, warmth about the family, and right. I always remembered them. And then I guess what happened was, and this is like way later when I was an adult, my mother told me that she ended up taking me away from them because she said she got jealous because they started bringing me to their church and I started fitting in way too much with them. And of course, because I had other people and I had actual sisters then.
Right.
Which is, you know,
other people to play with and hang out with.
Exactly. Yeah. Wow. So
that must have been terrible.
It was because it went from...
You felt like you were all alone again, or?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Totally. And then, of course, when I was, I don't even remember how old, was I like around 3 years old? I think my mother got married to my stepfather. And that was a really difficult situation for me because I didn't feel like I fit into their family at all. And I certainly did not, I did not like my stepfather. And I never really got along with him, and I never really spent a whole lot of time around him. And a lot of that was because he kept displaying behaviors.
A lot of inappropriate behaviors around?
Inappropriate behaviors in front of me. And so what I would have to do is go to my room and stay there, you know. And so I think most of my childhood was spent in my room alone.
Did you feel safe in your room?
Actually, to be honest with you, most of the time I did, which is really strange because...
That was a place you had to go to when you felt, for the most part, that you wouldn't be infringed upon in your room.
Exactly.
Right.
Which was really strange because most people that have a family member displaying that kind of behavior... usually they're going to be raped and
sexually assaulted,
but I felt that my parents were more of the ilk of
trying to groom
and coerce me into doing something, see, instead of forcing it. And so
did you ever have any strange things happen, like when you would close your door to go in there, mm-hmm. get dressed and stuff like that?
Yeah. Okay. Actually, on one of my other podcasts, I did discuss this a little bit, but there was, that's why I'm saying, for the most part, I felt safe in my room, but there it started getting to that point when I was, 13 or so, where my stepfather started exhibiting more kind of forceful behavior where...
too much attention.
Too much... well, okay, it would be like I'm getting dressed in the morning in my room, my door's closed.
Okay.
And he would just open up the door.
Oh, no.
So there's like no knocking, no nothing. He would just open up the door. And this happened... like off and on for about a week or so. I would say just a week to 2 weeks. I started noticing, okay, he's starting to open up the door, try to, you know. And so what I did is I went and told my mother. I told her, look, you know, I've been noticing that when I'm getting undressed in the morning or dressed, whatever, you know, he just opens the door on me in my bedroom. So I guess she supposedly talked to him. So then what he started doing, okay, instead of not knocking and just coming in, he would knock really quickly and open up the door super fast. So it's really the same thing.
Right, but he's acting like, well, I'm listening to my wife and yeah. I knocked on the door.
Exactly.
Wow. And didn't you have like an occasion where you were driving, I think you told me, they were driving you somewhere mm-hmm. and he said something about if you ever need to discuss something?
Yes, and I wanted to thank you for that because that was... really a huge memory that I actually uncovered. And it's something that just floated into my mind that I had like thrown into the basement of my subconscious. Okay, where you're kind of trying to forget stuff and things just start to come up. And so I recovered a memory. And this is right before I had my period. And I had my period, it started when I was 13. So this was like when I was around 12. Almost at 13. And I was sitting in the back of the car. Dennis was driving on the left-hand side.
That's your stepfather.
That's right.
Your adopted
father. Stepfather. And then my mother was sitting on the right-hand side, right next to him. And out of the blue, he started talking and saying, you know, this is him talking. I read somewhere that daughters, you know, start getting, what's the word that he used? Hold on, let me think about it. Start becoming sexually attracted to their fathers. Around your age.
In adolescence.
And so I want you to feel like if you ever feel that way, that you can come and talk to me about it, and we can discuss this, okay? We can discuss, you know, you being sexually attracted to me.
This is after opening your doors.
That's right.
Okay.
So, as a 12-year-old girl, I knew that there was something really super wrong about this. And my gut was turning and I was thinking, oh my God. And so I just sat there and I didn't say a word. And because I did that, it was about, I'd say, 15 to 20 to 30 seconds later, because there was so much silence, my mom chimes in and says, oh, honey, we don't talk about things like that. And she said something like icky poo or something like that.
She's talking to her husband.
Yeah. But there was a long silence.
A long lull. Like mm-hmm. like they were waiting to see if you would give a response.
Exactly.
Open-ended question.
Exactly. So it wasn't until I was way older, married to you, by the way, where I recovered that memory. And looking back on it as an adult, I was like, you son of a bitches. You guys talked about this beforehand. You got the okay to talk about it.
Yeah.
Hold on. You're the mother. You okayed it for him to talk about it. So it was a plan for both of you to try to incest me. Okay.
And it must have been pretty painful as a young girl sitting in the back of that car. You get all these memories of him, hands in his pocket, trying to open the door on you, and all these things, and say something so inappropriate mm-hmm. to you, and stuff in the car with your mother sitting there and being present
mm-hmm.
and feeling like, why isn't she protecting me?
Yeah.
Why isn't she standing
because,
up for me?
And it was obvious to me now right. because she was a part of it.
Right. But I mean, when you were that young girl in the back of the car, how did that make you feel as a young girl? When you were like 12 years old.
You know what? I will be totally honest with you. And I'm not going to play games about it. I'm not going to lie about it. It was so much for me to handle and so horrific.
Right.
Okay. I didn't think about it at all.
Wow. You just blocked it
until
out.
I became an adult. Way far into our marriage, and I started piecing all this shit together. And about a couple years ago or so, this is just like 2 to 3 years ago, going through a lot of old paraphernalia, old letters, old
memorabilia.
Old memorabilia, thank you. Not paraphernalia. I'm so sorry. Okay, but memorabilia, things like old birthday cards.
Right.
Okay, so I remember opening up a box of old birthday cards, okay? And there was one in particular. One in particular that I remember getting that was my memory that was given to me on my 13th birthday. This was right before I got my first period. Okay? Because I remember I was like 13 and a half or so when I got my first period. So when I had just turned 13, I had read my birthday card.
That you found with the memorabilia.
That I found with other memorabilia. And it was a birthday card telling me that now I'm a teenager, I'm 13, blah, blah, blah. We love, you know, all the love. And then at the very bottom, in my mother's handwriting, it said, "We love teenagers."
Mm. Yeah.
And then I thought back to that memory in the car.
What was said and not said.
What was said and not said, that's correct. And then I knew, being an elder female, what it all really meant. And the sickening, disgusting feeling in the pit of my stomach came back. I remember that day when I read that when I was 13. And I read the We Love Teenagers, and something just didn't feel right.
Yeah, I can see that.
Something just did not feel right.
So did you stay in Eastern Washington, or did you guys move around a lot? I mean, did you have any roots, I guess is what I'm getting at?
Which was really interesting that you brought this up, because we had stayed in Kennewick for quite a number of years in my childhood. And in fact, there was one point in time I was so happy because my parents were thinking about having a swimming pool being put in the back of our house. And you see, every summer we would go to my mother's sister's in Richland, where they had their own swimming pool. And I would spend the whole time in the pool. It was like so much fun.
Right.
Okay, so right before we were able to actually start the swimming pool, something happened with my stepfather's place of work.
Okay.
Where he worked for, what was it, Hanford?
Yeah, nuclear power plant.
Nuclear power plant. Okay, it's like, it's really hard to get flipping.
It's a federal job.
It's a federal job, okay.
And he worked there for quite a while, and so did your mother.
They did work there for quite a while, and all of a sudden, boom, they've got to leave. And I remember I had to leave all my friends, everything I'd ever known, and we left. Okay, but the funny thing of it is, here's the funny thing.
Well, what do you mean you left? You left Kennewick?
We left Kennewick.
Well, where'd you go to?
We went. Ready? Out of all the places in the world to go to, we went to Elkhart, Indiana.
Did you have family there?
No.
Friends?
No. Nobody.
Did you have any family here in Washington?
Yes, we did.
Well, why would they go to Indiana?
Well, that's a question. That's a question for me and you to really ponder upon, because I think something huge happened at his job. I think that they had to let him go, fired him, whatever. And I think that we fled.
So you think it was so bad,
yes,
whatever happened, that's why they didn't come to family here in Washington, and instead he took a job as a aluminum sidewall installer in Elkhart, Indiana. Is that correct?
Yeah.
How long were you in Indiana?
I think for at least a year.
And then what happened?
Maybe 2 years.
You come back to Washington?
Then we came to Seattle, Washington.
Isn't that where your stepfather's family lived?
That's right.
Oh, that's amazing. Think of it, came here in the first place.
That's right.
Okay.
Exactly. So.
So. Did your family ever discuss your biological father or your other siblings? Or, I mean, I'm saying this because I know the backstory.
Yeah,
I'm sure the viewers might want to know, and listeners. might want to know part of that.
Well,
I don't know what you want to share.
Let me put it to you this way. I'm trying to remember how old I was. I definitely was not 13 yet. I think I was about, I'm thinking about 11.
Okay.
But I'm not sure. But I remember one time, my family and I went to my mother's sister's place in Richland, the one who had the pool.
Okay, your aunt's house, where you used to swim all the time.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there was a party going on, meaning there was alcohol, there was a lot of adults drinking, and Dennis was one of them that was drinking quite a bit.
Okay.
Okay. And I, you want to ask a question if there, anything was ever talked about my father?
Right. But also, was your mother there? Or the other kids there? Or were you the only child there?
There, I believe there were other kids there.
Okay.
My aunt's kids were there. But it was mainly all adults.
Okay.
But there were a few kids there. But I mean, I if I'm going to take a guess, I would say there was probably 20 to 30 people in her house drinking and walking around.
Right, all
and talking,
socializing, drinking.
Socializing, drinking.
And then what happened about your father?
Well, you know, I hardly knew anything at all about my father, my bio father. I will give my mother this. She made sure I knew his real name. And okay, she gave me my baby bracelet with my name on it, my rightful name.
A little blanket, too. Did you get a little blanket?
No. Uh-huh. So, anyway, there's like 25 to 30 people drinking. And, of course, Dennis is like sloshing it down, you know. And all of a sudden, He's talking to one of these people, and they're all congregating in the living room area.
Is this your family, or they have neighbors there as well?
I don't know if there were neighbors or who they were.
But there was
but
at
it
your
wasn't
aunt's house.
Just family. There were people there.
Okay, so what happened? He's getting drunk.
And there's a lull in the room. You know how there's a lot of talk, and it's like, but all of a sudden there's a lull.
Right.
And I remember Dennis saying, "Well, that's nothing. You should know about what happened to her father." And he points at me.
Oh, no, no.
Yeah.
So what did he say?
Well, he got ready to tell what happened to my father.
Your biological father.
My biological father. And my mother stopped him 2 times. He kept trying to talk, and she says, "No, honey." And she looked at him, and he stopped. And then he started talking about, "No, honey." And then, so he stopped, but then way later, I remember after the party was over, because no one ever said anything to me at all about my fucking father.
Right.
Okay. I went to my mother behind the scenes.
Okay.
When there was nobody around. Okay. And I said, "I want you to tell me what the hell happened to my father."
Right.
And she said she wasn't going to tell me. And she still tell me. And she never fucking told me.
Oh my goodness.
That's right.
Mm.
And guess what? From what I can recollect, the way that I found out was when you and I both did some detective work.
Yes, but they knew what happened to him.
Yes, they did.
We had to look it up.
And we won't talk about that right now, exactly what happened. But we did our own detective work on that and found out, you know, why my mother was so close-lipped all those years.
It must have made you feel kind of like ostracized and stuff, and everybody's looking at you about your father and him blabbing this out.
Everybody, okay, let me just tell you something, because there was a lull in the room and his voice was really loud.
Yeah.
Everybody was stopped and was looking at him.
Oh, no.
And me. Okay, and I knew nothing about what happened to my father. Victim. Yeah. No. I had not a clue what happened to my father because my mother was always closed-mouthed about my father. And I didn't find out way later, that my father was in the mafia.
That's right.
And he ended up getting killed. And I won't go into that story too much, but it's only you know, obvious why my mother kept her mouth shut, because when she was with my father, she was doing shit right along with him.
Yeah.
Which probably goes right in line to why she okayed it behind the scenes for my stepfather to bring up that, you know, that sexual thing in the car. Wanting me to come to him, if, you know, and talk, and why she was all silent. Because she'd probably been doing shit all along with my father, doing God knows what with other people.
So, let me get this right. Here's a little backstory which we haven't said. So, when you were a little kid, and your mother and father working for the U.S. government, for the Department of Energy at Hanford Nuclear Power Plant.
Yeah.
Your stepfather was driving the supercharged car in Avante, and your mother was driving a Porsche. And you guys went from living a high lifestyle to...
I wouldn't call it a high lifestyle, at least from my vantage point. I mean, I could be wrong.
Those are real expensive cars.
Yeah.
So you went from that lifestyle to living on credit cards in... what's that place called? Indiana.
Well, not only that, but I remember, like for me personally, and this is why looking back on it as an adult, okay, I always had huge, huge problems.
Right.
Because I was the only child with school.
It sounds like you were running a lot.
No, hold on.
Okay.
I always had huge problems with school. And my parents knew it. Why? Because... back in those days, you would have the teachers come over for meetings with the parents. And in fact, one of my teachers came by to talk to my parents and say, look, she needs help in these areas. Okay? And my parents never did anything to help me. So hold on. So back in Elkhart, Indiana, I was always having trouble with school. Why? Because my parents never helped me at home with anything to do with school. And they never seemed to ever think that maybe I might need a tutor, someone that they could pay. But yet, ready? Dennis was shelling out money to learn how to physically fly an airplane and get a license.
And weren't both your parents university graduates?
Yes.
So one would think if they thought it was important enough for them to go to university, that they would ensure that you would have went to university to give you a leg up, a head start in life.
Well, I think because I didn't give it up, that probably had a lot to do with it.
Yeah.
Because I won't go into a lot of stuff, but I think in their mindset, you give it up and, you know, you'll get all the extra little things, you know.
Yeah.
But that's pretty much how it panned out, and I pretty much spent my whole time in my room alone as a kid. And when things started getting worse as far as him opening up the door, let's say first it was not knocking and opening up the door fast. Then it became because I told on him.
Rap, rap, rap.
You know, knock, 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 and then open up the door super fast. Like, it doesn't even matter if you're going to knock if you're going to do it like that.
Yeah.
So then, of course, I started getting dressed in the bathroom where there was a lock.
Wow.
And then, because things started escalating at home, and I was tired of living my life in my fucking room and doing nothing, okay, I made a friend two houses down from me. Okay, and I started spending a lot of my time over there,
from there, yeah.
Where at least I'm away from the fucking house.
Yeah. Wow. This is like an adventure.
It is, isn't it?
I'm glad you can laugh about it now, because
yeah.
As a little kid, it'd be pretty scary.
It was very painful, because...
I think back to think, because you said during this, you know, broadcast how, you know, your mom never really told you anything about your father. And that meant that you didn't really know anything about your other side of the family, your cousins on that side.
Nope.
Sisters, brothers, any of that, that you might have had a, you know, a chance, an opportunity to have a bond with as you were growing up. But you were denied that.
I'll be honest with you. As sad as it is, I think it would have been way worse if I would have really, because I did meet a couple of them.
Later on.
Way later when I was a way older an adult. And they're just too screwed up.
Well, then I guess that was a blessing.
Yeah, it was a blessing.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
So I married a little mafia queen.
Well, if you want to call it that, I guess. I don't know.
It's so funny because you got such a kind, loving heart. You know, but I can see if somebody crushed you, where it could come out of you. But you're smart enough to only be around people who you know won't cross you. If they do, you chop them off, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
Why waste your time?
So it's kind of like, it was a really interesting situation to be in when you're a young girl. Because the way I looked at it, the real only family member I had was my mother. And every step of the way, she kept screwing me over, turning her back on me. One of my other podcasts I talked about, there was also it was in Elkhart, Indiana. And it was like another like get together / party where he brought over all the people that he worked with there.
Okay.
And I remember I was just starting to develop, just starting. And I came out of my bedroom and was just like walking around, you know, just trying to be part of the party. So I wasn't always stuck in my fucking room.
You were curious.
Right?
I was curious.
Yeah. So natural. I come out and Dennis is of course drinking with one of his friends from work. And my mother's, you know, like I'd say a few feet away. She was talking to some other woman or something. And I remember Dennis, you know, said something about, you know, my breasts to his coworker, and they started laughing.
Wow.
Yeah. And I was like, and it was just
totally inappropriate.
It felt so disgusting and so, you know, I don't know what the hell you want to call it.
Because you were a young girl just growing into your body.
That's right.
And stuff. Yeah. Yeah. That's
and so what I did was I noticed, you know, of course they'd been drinking. That's no excuse though. So anyway, I walked way over to where my mom was and I asked to speak with her. And, you know, I made sure that she was away from the lady she was talking to. And I told her, I said, you know, I went over there to just talk and be part of the party, you know?
Yeah.
And Dennis made a comment about my breasts to this guy, and they started laughing. And my mother looked at me, and she said to me, "Well, if that bothers you, go talk to him about it."
Whoa.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
See, and that
I screwed up.
That was before the thing in the car that happened, where she was just sitting there for 20 or 30 seconds.
So I can see where you would say it's a setup.
Yeah. Right.
That's horrible.
Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, that's sick.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, God only knows what kind. She was obviously doing a lot of bad shit with my bio father.
So when you guys went to Indiana, because he lost his job, and she was working there, it must have been pretty bad because she left her job too.
Yes,
after
she did.
He left, that's when you guys went to Indiana.
Uh-huh.
And what I was going to ask you was, were you in any way in your entire life able to keep in touch with your Mormon friends? I mean, after all that?
No.
That stuff, you never saw them again?
Never saw them again.
Oh, that's shameful.
Yeah, she ripped me away from them, and she literally told me because she was jealous.
I've heard her say that before to you. So.
Yep.
That's not in your head. I've heard that.
Yep.
Wow. I'm so sorry. No one should have to go through that.
Yeah, it's pretty sad. And I think the thing that I'm kind of also pissed off about is the fact that there were so many times that they could have helped me with my homework, but they never bothered to even help me or sit down or say, hey, you know, maybe they're too busy, so let's get you a tutor.
Yeah.
Right?
And I think if we can afford airplane lessons, we can afford a tutor.
That's what I'm trying to say. Yeah. And I started really thinking. I'm thinking, wow, you know, to become, you know, a pilot costs some fucking money. It's not like it's a cheap hobby.
Yeah. Well, and the point, too, is, you know, because I knew Dennis, you know, and he was an intelligent person. And from what I gather was... He was the type of person, instead of really trying to help you or help a child, it was more trying to show off, like,
mm-hmm.
I'm a brainiac and you can't begin to comprehend what I'm talking about here, so why bother?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of, well, wait a minute, there's different ways to reach out to teach people, because mm-hmm. that's what's important. And instead of, you would feel intimidated as a child by the way he would treat you
mm-hmm.
or talk to you, so... It would feel so demeaning. You wouldn't want to ask for help anymore. And he was out of it because he wouldn't have to help you. And your mother was on hands-free.
Well, my point, though, too, is even if you're going to look at it like that, they could have easily have gotten me a tutor.
Oh, yes. Yes, they could have. You know, but, you know.
I mean, they wanted to sit there and complain about, you know, about my grades and about school and that they're being talked to from the teachers. You know, we really need to get this girl some help. But did anybody ever help me? No. No one ever fucking helped me.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest with you, I had real issues asking for help.
Well, of course you would, because you felt all alone.
Mm-hmm.
Who wouldn't?
It's not like I would say, hey, can you please get me a tutor? You know, when you're a kid and you have teachers telling your parents something like, hey, she needs help, you're thinking, okay, you know, they're going to do something because they're my parents, which that means they're either going to teach me themselves or they're going to pay to help somebody.
They're going to put you in a situation to help you succeed.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just want to say, because... I haven't had a chance to touch on this yet, but I want to applaud you because it's really brave of you to put yourself out there like this in the public realm. That takes a lot of bravery, a lot of guts, and I'm really proud of you for doing that.
Thank you.
Taking this risk. I mean, to lay yourself bare to people and stuff like that. And that takes a lot of bravery, and I commend you for that, especially with all you've been through and
Thank
on your birthday.
Thank you. And you know what? I'm gonna take that compliment.
Good. You deserve
it. I'm not going to brush it aside because after all the crap I've been through, and I'm not even just talking about the whole, you know, family thing. I'm also talking about society in general, what they do to girls, what they do to women, you know?
Well, yeah, I know.
It's like, personally, I start kind of thinking about stuff at my age and thinking back, like... You know, I was never taught anything at all about slavery. I was never taught anything about the suffragettes, how women actually got the right to vote. I mean, what were the women's names that got killed or did all these things? What were the things that they did? You know, what were their names?
Yeah.
You know, are we even discussing that in public school? It's a fucking farce. It's stupid.
What were their backgrounds? Where did they come from?
Yeah.
What gave them that impetus that other people didn't have?
Exactly.
Those are valid questions.
And you know, another reason why I think that is so flippin' important. Why? Because it gives you a bigger reason.
It gives you a voice. It validates you.
It validates you, and it gives you a more solid thing to stand on when you know the true, you know, herstory and history, the truth. I don't care if it's the worst thing in the world, you know, or the best thing in the world. We need to just start discussing the truth. How we all really got to the places we are now through the actions and inactions of the people that came before us, right? Yeah. And you know, it gives us a much bigger reason for the reason why we're here than just ourselves.
But you know, I think we should do another video, or what do you call it, a podcast,
mm-hmm.
about society, prejudices.
I do too.
Xenophobia, all kinds of things, and maybe discuss why these things aren't taught. Why are we stuck in 2023
mm-hmm.
still targeting people because of their race or because of their sex, because of their gender or their preferences? Whose business is it? What religion they are?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot more important things in this world than what separates us. It should mm-hmm. be, we should be focused on what unites us and how we can all grow here.
Exactly.
So we should think about doing a podcast like that.
We will. And you know, another reason why I think it's so important to bring up to what unites us and not divides us, because how the hell are we going to even be able to even start, okay, to help the earth and the environment and all the stuff that's happening? Who the F cares, okay, you know, what thing you're into, if you're into being gay, straight, whatever. Who cares? What cares is what we walk upon every day, which is the earth, the environment. If it all goes to hell, who the hell cares about all the other pieces of crap? It's just stupid.
Yeah, and caring is one step. Doing something positive is another step. Working it out and trying to see what we can do to try to reverse some of this.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully we haven't reached a tipping point and make the corrections that are needed in society, because I'll tell you, I think this is one pretty messed up world. But the good thing is, there's you, there's me, and probably a lot of listeners and others out there that are like-minded, that are going to try to bring about change and make this a better place. Because I do believe in my heart there's more of us good people and bad people.
I agree. And I think that they're just trying to divide people.
Yeah, but we should save that for a different show.
Yeah, and we will.
Yeah.
You're right. We'll put that more onto the back table
for
now.
Yeah.
But I'll just say, kind of in closing, because we're at like almost the 48-minute mark, I'll say that as a whole, I guess I'll speak in the voice for women. Just for right now, because of the pain that I went through as a kid, you know, being made to feel that, you know, I'm not worth anything, that all that's important are my breasts, and you know, not really having, even though I had kind of a safe place, there was always this looming feeling of feeling like I have to fight for my life in this situation, because if something happens where he tries to do something to me or my mother, I am not the kind of person. I may be kind, loving, nice, and a very sweet person, but when it comes to my physical body, I'm the kind of person where I will yell from the highest, however loud I need to be, and their asses, okay, would have gone to prison.
Amen.
For what the heck that they were thinking of doing. Because I'm not the kind of person to go. I am a very kind-hearted person, don't get me wrong, but when it comes to me getting, you know, raped or something else, I am not one to stay silent, even back then when I was a kid.
And that shapes a lot of young girls.
It does.
As they become women.
It does.
And stuff, because if you don't have a voice, if you don't have a safe place to use your voice, a safe place to put your head, that's going to stick with you forever. Mm-hmm. And it shouldn't be like, I know that I've heard from your parents about, well, maybe one day you can be a secretary and you can marry somebody in the office as a boss. Instead of, well, hey, maybe you want to be an astronaut or an engineer and you could take care of yourself. Mm-hmm. I mean, women today can do anything a man could do, and a lot of times much better than most men. Mm-hmm. So I'm really proud of you and watching you grow these last 30 years. And I'm looking forward to continuing to watch you grow.
Thank you. And in closing, I also want to just bring up something really quick that I'm going to probably talk about in my next podcast, is just learning about the different things along the way that were never really taught and looked at. Like wasn't it like in the early 70s where women finally got the right to have our own fucking credit card?
Yeah.
Excuse me?
I think it was 1973.
It's like, excuse me?
Yeah. You have to ask your husband.
I mean, I can't tell you how angry I am. And just learning that, it's probably why when I came into the earth plane, I probably said, okay, she's going to have to wait till she's a lot older to find out all this stuff. Because,
and just think about this for 1 second.
Yeah.
All the younger women out here today, I'm talking about 30 and younger, They have probably, most of them have no idea that women had to wait to 1973 to have the right to have their own credit card. Mm-hmm. Like saying, well, I'm not chattel. I'm a human being and I'm my own person.
Exactly.
You know, self-reliant.
Yeah.
And that's really sad that it's taken that long.
And that's why it's so, this is how, what I feel, and I'm sure this is how Robert feels. That's why it's so flippin' important that I think that we really, truly learn our past. As far as, you know, the past of slavery, all the things that led to that, to the past of women, what women had to go through, the suffragettes, all the things that we had to go through. There are so many things that are buried, so many painful, hurtful things. And granted, I know they're painful and hurtful, but I think it's painful and hurtful, so we can really dig deep into the gold of why we're really here, okay? And if you don't know the truth of what you're standing on, everything that came before you, or at least a good portion of it, then what you're standing on is not going to be strong. You're gonna fall. It's like building a house on something that is not secure. Okay, you may think you're building a home, but guess what? You've built it on quicksand. It's not going to withstand stuff. And that's why nobody really knows who the hell they are. Why? Why? Because the system wasn't really built for us to really know who the hell we are. It was built for us to work for other corporations as a cog in the wheel.
It's a service.
Yeah.
There's a reason they call it History. Historians are the ones who create the story. They're the ones who control the narrative. And it's, they want to be seen in the good light. They do not want to be seen as, well, I took advantage of this and that and got all I could and did these dirty things. Mm-hmm. It's, oh no, it's a beautiful place. It's an equal playing field. And it just took time for you to get to this part where we are. Which is, we all know, hogwash.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, I want to thank you for having me on the show tonight.
And
that was fun.
Thank you for being on the show. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We're going to close it out now. And, of course, you know, I'm going to re-listen. We're both going to re-listen. Well, he may not, but I am. Anyway, thank you for listening, everybody. And thank you for sharing my birthday with me and
Happy
my
birthday.
Twin flame. Thank you, honey. Love all of you. Have a great night. Okay, talk to you soon. Bye-bye.